This audio is brought to you by Cotant Family Dentistry, where advanced dental technology meets compassionate, patient-centered care.
All right, good morning. It's 7 o'clock.
Good morning.
Let's go ahead and get started. First item on the agenda is update on the Main Street project. I understand we were at bid last week, so is the city have any information for us?
Well, I think, do you guys have, YDOT hasn't awarded the bid yet, and I think you guys need to do a letter. They will award it in 2 days from today, but they need from us and from you guys a letter of concurrence that you agree to your portion of it. Have they talked to you about your amount?
They have not, and the notified ask was bid separately, but
okay.
It was bid at the same time. Scott is going to address us today, so that may be what's covered. My understanding was that the low bid was about $3 million over the engineer's estimate.
Yeah, and so I don't want to paint, I don't want to force, you know, what YDOT has to do. They may say, we're not going to let the bid, but our portion of it is roughly $2.2 million now. And then, I don't know what the county's portion of it is. I think the bid, though, was roughly $17
million. Yep.
So, that's all I know, but I think you guys will be asked to commit to going forward with your portion, just as we will be taking action on that tonight.
Very, very soon, too.
Yes, like they need to know today.
Yeah.
And
I thought you'd pay our part.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to find out how much it is. So I can write a check.
Just make it $5 million.
Is there, certainly I'll put the city on the spot, but what's the general thinking going into tonight?
I think it needs to be done. I don't think that we would not do our portion of it. I mean, and wait to do it later because it's never going to be cheaper, and they're here and it's designed. And so I can just talk all day long.
Are you wondering why I don't see anybody voting against it? No. I wouldn't be voting against it, probably. But I can't speak for all the councilmen. Sorry, Anna.
You kind of bold. Could you tell?
It's springtime, and there's all that wonderful stuff in the air. So. Okay, on the, that's the construction side. Any update from the folks that were supposed to start working on the parking plan?
I haven't.
Where really, I haven't met at all. Mm-hmm. You know, with not doing downtown right off the bat, we didn't see a huge urgency on the getting together.
So, that'll give us time to work on a couple other ideas.
Anything else? Main Street, any upcoming public meetings that you're aware of, city, or anything else that?
Oh, public meetings are for the second phases and the second go around, I'm pretty sure. I haven't heard any from down here.
I would think that once they decide they award the bid, then the contractor will. When YDOT is probably going to lead the charge on when the meetings are. We're happy to host them here until you can't get here anymore.
Anything from anyone else on Main Street?
This Main Street park won't be done, what is it, 2 years out?
25. For the downtown.
For downtown?
Mm-hmm. Downtown and Fort to Art.
And is there's an incentive for them to get this portion done by May 31st? By
Memorial Day.
They get a bonus. If they do, they start getting fined, for lack of a better term, if they don't.
So that would be this section, and then that water line that's going to go that way will take the rest of the summer, and then they will pave or overlay, I guess.
Okay. Anything else there? Quick update on legislative committees coming to Buffalo. They flipped, and so we now are going to have the Joint Agriculture Committee in either May or June, and the Appropriations Committee in August. Portion of that August meeting will be committed to touring the domiciliary at the Veterans Home and getting a better understanding of the project by members of the Appropriations Committee. So as we get a little closer to Joint Ag being here, that it will be a two-day meeting, and they're coming because Representative Crago is the vice chair of the committee. We'll organize some sort of hospitality for the legislators and a welcome to Buffalo for both of those meetings. So stay tuned. We'll get those emails out in your inboxes as soon as LSO confirms the agendas. You can work with the chairs of each of those committees to welcome those legislators to Buffalo. So any questions there? All right. Mr. Shelley, did you ask for the next item?
I did. I just wanted to talk to the council a little bit about the shooting sports building that they're talking about out there on the city property. I believe it's a 10-year lease, and you know, county's going to put up the money, some money towards that building. We were wondering, you know, what you guys thought about a little longer lease, like the life of the building, like maybe a 40-year lease or something on that. Kind of just makes more sense with the building. you know, we've talked about different things on it, and just kind of seeing what you guys feel about that.
That's out of the shooting range?
Yep. You know, they were running 110 or 111 kids through it last year. I mean, it's a huge part of what Johnson County does, and to get, you know, I've been a part of that program for a long time, and to see all those kids come through and grow, and I mean, you go down to the state shooting sports and Buffalo always does quite well down there, but to get this building, I think, would be a great asset for them, personally. They get moved around so much and have to cancel and reschedule, so I don't know if Bryce or Jim have any numbers they want to throw out there.
We did renew the lease this last year, the lease on the Buffalo Outdoor Shooting Site, BOSS is what it's called, is operated by the Buffalo Trap and Ski Club, the board. There's a 425-member adult use out of the range. But the lease was from September 23 to August 33, with the options listed in here as renewals of five-year increments. So that's where Jeff was looking at that. As you know, we're looking at a potential auxiliary building out there, and that's what Jeff was alluding to, where we're going to kind of designate that its main primary use is 4-H shooting sports kids. Jeff asked me how long the 4-H had a shooting sports program in Johnson County, and I couldn't find the exact number, but ever since the range and clubhouse was built out there in the early 80s with Terry Barnhart's stuff. 4-H has been, it's right in the bylaws that 4-H has priority up there in those kids. But looking back historically for that question, Jeff, I couldn't find the exact number, but in the extension office, we have pictures of Dave Hall and Peter John Camino with those same 22 rifles that we have in the program right now. So you know we're looking at least 50 years of Johnson County shooting sports. Yeah, it has been up, but that's all I can verify is the pictures that we have out on the wall out there. So.
As kids, we shot them up at the old youth camp at Tyhack.
Shot them every summer. That's the same picture with Dave Paul and Peter John laying on the log right there.
But I don't know. I guess my question was, if that's something you guys would consider, is extending that lease out for the building. So that's just something for consideration or to think about, maybe.
Most of your building leases, whether it's the YMCA, the senior center, seem to be a little longer term than 10 years. So I think, not speaking for Shooting Sport, but the hope was they could secure something a little bit longer, similar to what you're doing with your other facilities.
So the only one that we have that's longer than 10 years is the new bus barn for the senior center. Everything else is 5 or 10 years, including golf course, all of those. And the reason for the longer term on the bus barn was the funding that they were getting, the grant funding. They weren't going to get the grant funding for, they wanted the lease through like a lifetime of the building.
Was that some consideration that was talked about, Jim? There was some funding you were looking at?
Yeah, there was one entity over in Cody, the Wyoming Outdoorsman, and they were concerned about the short nature of the lease, so we lost that grant, but again, that was they had some other trepidation as well on that, so it might not have been the only excuse for them to back out of it. They actually came to us, they actually looked at Dr. Lucas Todd, and then they referred him to us, and we went over there and did a presentation to Cody, but that was one of their concerns. And it's my fault, Bob, and we renewed this lease just this last year, working with the city attorney on that kind of stuff, and I didn't know that there was an option of potentially going long-term. And I'm not visionary like you are. My foresight of this is not that good, but we appreciate the tenure that we had added from the five that was previously.
In the lease is who's responsible for the maintenance of the building over that 4 years? Maintenance, utilities.
I would assume that would come through them. It would probably come back toward the county through some money, maybe through the rec board. I don't know what Bryce has really ideas on that. But
I've got the lease right here. If you wanted to look at it. I think it delineates the city as responsibility for all that, but then the operator will repair damages and operational stuff.
Yeah, you have a copy.
Yeah, on that second page.
Because, Bryce, you're running through the community center or building out there.
And
we've gotten bumped around several times.
Yeah, see, that's the beautiful thing for us is anything at Buffalo Trap and Ski Club, like Jim says, we're written in their bylaws that 4-H has precedence. Unfortunately for us at Fairgrounds, the paying customer is the precedence, right? And so it's hard to do a weekend thing because most of the time we're bumped with an auction. It's hard to do a nightly thing because sometimes we're bumped with meetings or weddings or you know, anything that goes down the line, just as a paying customer, we get bumped. So that's what we're up against. And then to give you guys kind of some numbers as far as the 4-H program, we had 330 kids last year. We're graduating 17 of those kids, and we're still expecting to grow by upwards of 10 more. So we're going to have at least 22 to 30 more kids joining the program. That equates to, as far as Johnson County numbers, every person under the age of 18, that's one in every three that you see downtown is in our program. And then in that program, 110 kids in shooting sports, so every one in three of those in our program is in shooting sports. So at least a third of our enrollment's getting affected on a weekly basis through this program.
Bryce, can you describe a little bit the partnership that Johnson County 4-H as with the high school, so yeah. That there's a shooting sports team at the high school.
Yeah, absolutely. So 2 years ago, I had a meeting with Gib Ostheimer at the high school there. He wanted to start the Buffalo High School shotgun team. Those guys, of course, were looking at equipment, ammunition, the cost of play, all of those things. We sat down and had a meeting and said, hey, the beautiful thing for us is Buffalo Travis Keep Club covers all of our plays that we shoot. Those guys have been good to us. And then we have a $10 enrollment fee, has moved to $20, but we have a $20 enrollment fee, and we have access to guns, ammunition, and all the targets you can think of. And so we opened a 4-H club specifically for those guys so that they were covered by our insurance, had access to our leaders, and then had access to the ammunition and guns. That $20 fee that they'll pay up front to join 4-H shooting sports covers all the ammunition and guns they could use in .22 pistol, .22 rifle, archery, muzzle loading, and shotgun. As soon as they joined our program, they have the ability to do all of those things. And so we did that partnership to cover those guys, offset those costs for them. And then, A, it gives the high school kids another opportunity, and then, B, it helps grow our program, too. And then all of those kids, of course, are shooting there at Buffalo Trap and Ski Club.
Just a clarification, Commissioner. The Buffalo High School label on this team is the only thing that the high school supports that program with. All other expenses incurred for this are from the 4-H program.
So nothing comes out of the school
district's activities budget? Nothing out of the school district. The one thing they did was, I think they helped supply some uniforms the first year, but after that there's no financial investment from high school to this at all.
Yep, and all the kids are in that program are getting their own equipment and doing their own registration fees for the contests that they go to and stuff. So that was another big reason that we jumped on that partnership is to help those kids because of that support needed to come from somewhere. So.
And I talked to Tracy, the coach that volunteers for that, and they have registration. They just had 8th grade orientation, and I guess they're up to 21, 22 kids in the Buffalo High School trap team.
My son shoots on that trap team, and it's a great partnership because some of these other schools that don't have this are paying almost $200 a kid to go shoot, and I think Buffalo Trap was the $20. And so it's a huge asset to have that cooperation between the two. And that high school trap is, I think there was over 400 and some kids last year shooting, and I believe like the first year, which was maybe 4 or 5 years ago, there was only like 40 some kids. So it's really growing through the state.
Well, I don't see any problems extending the lease for the lifetime of the expected lifetime of the building, but it's got to have something in there that allows us to know about or okay additions or corrections or subleases that you guys in the shooting sports might be entertaining. So as long as we have that kind of protection, I don't see that we're risking the city's future at all.
I understand the attractiveness of the location because we already have the Trap and Skeet Club out there.
Right.
But on the other hand, it is by our wastewater treatment plant, and so there is some concern there and pushback a little bit of bringing more people out there. And the way they access, you know, I've just heard, you know, from the wastewater plant that there is concern with that. Is there any, has the county considered a space for this building?
We haven't. It seems more appropriate to put the shooting activities where the shooting activities presently are.
Yeah.
You have kids that are already out there doing trap skeet and other things, so we really wouldn't think about shooting in one place and then having to transport the kids across town to another facility to continue their day's activities.
This would be its own separate facility.
It's literally a tin shed, if you will.
Yeah, but I guess what I'm saying is yes, by that location, but they won't ever use the other location. I mean, they would use this building, correct?
So the way when we would use this building would be for our indoor season. Because the range bays are already built, shooting back away from the treatment plant there that these guys have redone, we're in those bays now, shooting outside during that season. One major draw for us to have this building is storage. There's some hoops you have to jump through when you store black powder in mass, like we do. There's some hoops you have to jump through when you store over 50 to 60 guns, and hauling and transporting of those. Right now, we're doing that weekly. We're hauling those and transporting those. They're living in trailers. That building would give us a place and location to have all those things. So the safety, first and foremost, is the number one thing that I look at when getting that building, is that location right there. Everything that we own and use would be on location, on site, ready to go for us.
How about insurance then?
So all of those things would be covered by Wyoming 4-H because they are owned by Wyoming 4-H.
Where the trap club has their own insurance policy. Julie, to address your questions about concern with the water treatment plant, all of the ranges are designed to shoot in the opposite direction of the water treatment, except for the trap and skeet houses. And when they were designed, the parameters were how large the shot size were and how far those things traveled. And there's a buffer zone on that. So there's no, I shouldn't say no, it has been designed so to mitigate any kind of contamination of lead past where that is. The only concern that we've seen, and your guys probably talked to us about that, on that back road, on the furthest north edge of the range into the water treatment plant, just as a safety protocol when those trucks come by, I don't know if it's Joey Reiner or whatever, they have it and they're dumping stuff out there, the ranges get shut down immediately when they're coming across. The other thing that we've addressed with that back road and the secret entry into the range, that's, I think, just we talked with Kevin about that and Larry about potentially gating that again. The whole premise is that all our membership goes through the lock gate, but there are two kind of back entryways in there. The other concern that we had was the industrial park and that development right there. But again, all of the ranges are situated where there is no directional shooting toward that. So hopefully that addresses your concerns that way.
Yeah, my concern was more about access to it. Yeah. I know it's well designed. I mean,
not yet.
What about the noise factor with your new industrial park? The county and the city have both got a pretty big investment in that. Is noise out there going to be an issue?
I wouldn't think on the trap side because, that's shooting starting at 4 o'clock usually from next week, basically. Till the middle of June?
Thursday, yeah.
You mean, I guess, if somebody was to buy and build out there, I think they would buy knowing that there's a gun club right next to it. Hopefully they would understand that when they buy it.
Bob, I think there's some federal regulations and laws that are based on that where ranges have been built around, and then they got actually moved out of town. Happened in Sheridan. We used to shoot trap in Sheridan in the 80s on the fairground. And they built all those houses around. And that's when they moved that sportsman's club out of town because of that kind of stuff. But it was a bigger concern in Colorado where they were doing a lot of that stuff. So there is some federal legislation about range development and what can be built around it. So I'll look into that stuff and find it.
Wonder what the, hey, that I didn't give you any considerations.
Just don't know who's going to be moving in there.
We don't know, and at that distance, the sound is not a big deal. You're going to hear more of just a pop than an actual. for being on range. I mean, the sound from the where you're standing when you're shooting to back where you park and watch is a huge difference, and that's only probably 50 yards, 75 yards.
Noise pollution, that kind of stuff, there is in the bylaws, and through the city, we have a time restriction. And this is way back again in the 80s when Deer Park had some concerns about some of that noise pollution that we're shooting, night legs and under the lights and all that kind of stuff. So now there's a special dispensation. I know the council allowed Tracy to run the midnight shoot out there January 1st. Rather than that, the noise has not been a concern for us.
And that's the only one I've gotten complaints on,
yeah.
Is that New Year's.
Yeah.
Okay, any further questions or discussion on shooting sports? All right, well, that was the end of the agenda items that folks had asked for requests, so we'll open it up to further discussion. So, start at the end of the table. Jody, anything?
No, I don't have anything.
Mr. Perry?
Nothing.
Mr. Camino?
Nothing.
Mr. Nagel?
Just the announcement, but you'll probably say that the meeting with the Richardson Park landowners, the 23rd at 7 p.m. at VHS.
Yes, ma'am.
I retract. I do have something. I encourage everyone in the county to participate in our comprehensive plan survey. If you haven't done so far, it's on our website. The website was also published in the newspaper last week, so we'd like to have as many responses as we can get. It's open until the end of April. County and city residents.
Yeah. What we've seen so far is we have to work on gas prices.
Mr. Mayor?
May 1st, there's a ribbon cutting for the Senior Center Bus Barn, and Friday the 19th at 5 o'clock is a ribbon cutting for Widowmeyer Precision Arms on Cinema Drive.
I don't have anything.
No, I don't either.
Councilman Madsen.
Nothing else additional.
Mr. Shelley.
Nothing else additional. I hope to see everybody there on the 23rd.
Jeff, are you guys going to have kind of an agenda? What's your plan for how this is going to work?
So Jim's got it all set up where, you know, it's not a... This is what we're doing, speech or talk. This is just an informational gathering for everybody. Hopefully we get a good turnout just to talk about the issues that are up there and that could be in the future for being up there. I know Representative Crago is going to kind of talk a little bit too. We're expecting, hopefully we get a good turnout, but it's just a question and answer kind of deal. Jim's going to kind of show that plot. He's got some slides of all the houses and where things sit, and just inform everybody, you know, just what costs are if your septic goes down, some of the numbers that he's looked at.
Sounds like you guys have it well under hand, and it will be informative. That's good. Thank you. All right, we would welcome any questions or comments from the public. Gary, do you have an update on housing or your next meeting? What's going on in that front?
Well, we'll have a next meeting next week, Wednesday. It'll be a working, the steering committee. We formed, out of that work group, we formed the Workforce Housing Steering Committee that's going to look at and advise on projects. And the foundation is intended to provide funds once we get something going there toward projects that are identified by the steering committee. Still in the bylaws on the foundation and the steering committee, I have found two workers, which is it's nice having a lot of support from people, but I got two people willing to put in time, you know, with spare time on their hands, wanting to put in time to put together projects. And the first project we're going to try to really do is have an introduction to the community, like an open house kind of thing, but we're not far enough along to know when or how that looks exactly. But, you know, like maybe go to the library, present what we're trying to do to the public. So that's where we're headed.
So your meeting is next Wednesday, what time and where?
9 a.m. up second floor conference room.
In the courthouse?
Courthouse.
Okay. I think from our favorite retired extension agent or our favorite current extension agent.
Your timing's good.
And we're kicking off in the busy season. I mean, we're full-fledged running and yelling. I just reached out to some kids yesterday trying to plan some stuff in May already. We're already planning out through the end of May and looking into June. So that's how far out we are, just already thinking ahead. But it's good. We're busy.
Jody, anything on the tourism front?
Yeah, we should have our website up and running, hopefully, by your next first week in May. We thought we'd have it for today. And then this weekend, we have an outdoor summit that Toby is attending. I think that's Thursday and Friday. And then the International Roundup in Casper is also this weekend, and Toby and Anita will both be attending that and presenting to a bunch of international tour operators. So when we see you all for an update next month, hopefully we'll have a lot of information to share with you on how some things are going. We have our first fam trip coming to Buffalo next Tuesday. So it's a group from the international tour operators coming here, I think around 2 o'clock on Tuesday, touring the Gatchel Museum in downtown. So getting things moving. So hopefully I have a little more information for you guys then.
All right. Any preliminary numbers? I know we're just kind of coming out of the shoulder season, but how winter occupancy was compared to previous years?
We're not down as far as much as it felt like we were going to be. It seemed pretty vacant, but we were only down like 5% from the check that we just got, so that's better than it felt when you wandered around town and it felt very quiet this winter. But I think we're holding our own so far.
Any questions from the press that's with us this morning? All right, well, you'll have plenty of time to get ready for your meetings. We are scheduled to meet again on the 21st. That will be the city's day, but we do hope you'll all join us in thanking Jody for her service, and she is headed on to a new adventure, so this will be her last city county breakfast with us. So, Jody, thank you.
Thank you, Jody.
Yep. You're welcome.
Good luck. Thank you.
I've enjoyed meeting everyone. I'll see you around. I'm in town.
Oh, good.
All right. We are adjourned.
This audio was brought to you by Cotant Family Dentistry, where advanced dental technology meets compassionate, patient-centered care.